From NPR News, it's Weekends on All Things Considered. I'm Guy Raz. Today, it's Nevada's turn, and the inevitability question is creeping back, as in, is Mitt Romney the inevitable GOP nominee? But just who is Mitt Romney? That's our cover story today. The former Massachusetts governor is expected to do very well in Nevada. And then the next big test comes at the end of the month when Arizona and Michigan hold their primaries, contests Romney is also favored to win. In a few minutes, we'll get an update from Ari Shapiro, who is covering the Nevada caucuses. We'll also hear the latest on the violence in Syria and today's UN resolution that was vetoed by Russia and China. But first, to Mitt Romney, a man who, to some, personifies the corporate raider, the cold, calculating chief executive, the person who occasionally says things like this.
I like being able to fire people who provide services to me.
I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there.
Corporations are people, my friend.
But there's another side to Mitt Romney, a side that people who know him say just doesn't seem to come out.
He was sort of like the image of a Boy Scout, what a Boy Scout should be.
That's Garrett Rasmussen. He's a partner at the Orrick Law Firm and was a classmate of Romney's at Harvard Law School.
You know, he's clean, he was well-dressed, he was earnest, he was polite, he was certainly entirely sincere and trustworthy and focused. So he wasn't the type of kid that we saw a lot of in colleges. And I attributed that mostly to, I guess, coming from Utah.
Here's how Jeff Rennert, a former colleague at Bain Capital, describes Romney.
He's the most capable person I've known. He is a guy who wakes up at 6 in the morning and goes till midnight and has tremendous energy, tremendous intellect, ability to focus on the detail, ability to go see the big picture, and he's able to work with very bright, very capable people to get them to pull together in the same direction for a common purpose.
Helen Severs feels much the same way. She worked with Romney when he was put in charge of the Boston area Mormon churches.
I thought he was quite innovative in the way he worked with that large group of congregations, because some were quite wealthy and had a lot of talent in them, and some of them had a lot of new converts, and especially low-income people, ethnic groups. And I think he did a really innovative job figuring out how to distribute talent and leadership and build up the capacities of the weaker congregations.
Helen Severs, by the way, is not planning to vote for Mitt Romney if he is the nominee. She's a Democrat, but she still respects him as a leader. But even among those who have known Romney, like Jeff Rennert, very few can say they really know him well.
Got a lot on his plate. He doesn't have a lot of idle time for hanging out. You know, he's not a guy who lounges around, puts his feet up on the couch, and, you know, goes on cruise control while he, sips a beer. The guy is going hard. He's, when he was at Bain Capital, he was building a great organization that was the leader in its industry, even though none of us had been in the industry, so we had to figure it out. At the same time, he had 5 young sons who he was helping raise and had, you know, enormous personal commitments to his church and his community. But the guy gives a lot of himself. So he's just a very, very unusual person who was raised with a set of values and work ethic and has an energy level that keeps him in motion all the time.
The Boston Globe reporters Scott Hellman and Michael Cranish wanted to build a deeper profile of Romney. They recently released their book. It's called The Real Romney, and in it they explain why they believe Romney lacks a bit of the common touch.
Well, you know, he grew up in a series of bubbles. He grew up in a very wealthy community in Michigan. He was a Mormon missionary, went to Brigham Young University for the last 3 years of his college. And then he was at Harvard Business School and Law School, and then in private equity. These are all very insular, elite worlds. He did not run, for example, for the city council. He wasn't a mayor. So he's not the sort of glad-heading politician with the common touch in that way. That's really not who he is. He's not a bomb thrower. Now, running for president, he needs to show that he can connect. And he's certainly had some problems over the years in doing that. And it really is one of the greatest challenges that he faces still.
In the book, you guys write, he has little patience for idle chatter or small talk, little interest in mingling at cocktail parties, at social functions, or even in the crowded hallway. That seems like a little bit of an impediment for somebody who wants to be in politics, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was thinking the other day of one of the Republican governor's events that I was at down in Florida with Haley Barbour, the former Mississippi governor.
A guy who loves small talk.
A guy who loves small talk. He's walking around with a drink in his hand, and he's chatting with everybody in sight, rubbing elbows, how you doing? Mitt Romney is the absolute opposite of that. I mean, he could not be any more different than that type of politician. And you're right, it is a huge impediment. And what's interesting is if you look back over his career, he's had this problem the whole way. In 1994, he was very stiff on the campaign trail. And today, even as we're talking, he continues to make these comments that just suggest that he doesn't know how to connect with people. And he has to figure out that common touch if he's the nominee.
Who are his friends? Who are the people that consider themselves to be close friends of Mitt Romney? What do they tell you about him?
He has a very small circle of people who he relies on. That would include his family. He's very close to his advisors, people who've been in with him for years. He has had people who worked with him as governor and in his campaigns and current campaign. When he went to be governor, he took people from his business and had them work with him in the governor's office. So there's a certain distance that he maintains outside of that very small circle.
Is he somebody who always saw himself as a future politician, and did he operate that way as a young man?
I think so. I mean, I've heard him say, I never imagined myself running for president, but a lot of people say he always imagined himself running for president. His father had run unsuccessfully, and he wanted to succeed where his father failed. There's an anecdote in the book where he's a young teenager. He's at the state capitol in Lansing, Michigan, and his father's governor. And it's after midnight, and he comes in, and according to this story that was told at the time, Mitt's suggesting to his father how he might want to handle some recalcitrant legislators. Like I said earlier, he didn't run for the smaller offices. He was always looking pretty high, if not the presidency, one of the top offices beneath that.
Let me ask you guys about the faith, the issue, because, of course, we have to assume that this is going to be looked at more and more over the course of the campaign, especially if Romney becomes the nominee. But I wonder, if Mitt Romney were a, say, a devout Catholic or a devout Episcopalian or the other mainline Protestant denomination, and he held an equally important role, would we be asking those questions?
I think that's an excellent question. And the answer, from my perspective, is I don't know. I mean, it is hard to make comparisons across faith because positions are different. There's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison. I mean, for example, in the Mormon Church, Mitt Romney was a bishop and then he was a stake president. That's sort of like akin to being a pastor and then being the head of a Catholic diocese, to continue with that analogy. And, I mean, by definition, if you're a Mormon lay leader, you're a lay leader. So you're not a paid clergyman. You're a businessman. You're a professor. You're a teacher who happens to take on these roles. So in some sense, it feels unfair to sort of hold him to a different standard. But I think you're right that he's going to be confronted with all these questions about what his faith means to him and how it informs his values. And typically how he's dealt with these things is to say, if you want to know about doctrine or anything gets into that vein, go ask the church. I'm not a spokesman for my church.
How central is the Mormon Church in his life?
It is such a big part of his life and has been for some time. I mean, you have to remember when you grow up in a very observant Mormon household, it's not just where you go on Sundays. It's your social life, and it informs your cultural values, and you have all these events during the week. So it's such a big percentage, even time-wise, of the way you spend your week. And yet, you know, Mitt Romney clearly is uncomfortable talking about his faith in a really significant way. And so I think one result of that is people feel like they don't fully know him because he's not sharing this big part of himself.
And yet he is a major figure in the church, right?
He held very important leadership roles before he got into politics. His family was very important in the history of Mormonism, the spread of Mormonism in the 19th century. So absolutely, I mean, you can't understand him without understanding his faith, and yet he more or less walls that off from view, and I think it'll be fascinating, assuming he's the nominee, to watch how that happens in the general election.
What does his time as governor tell us about the kind of president he would be?
It's fascinating. He doesn't talk about it at all, but he can point to certainly some successes in working with a Democratic legislature. I realize that we might not have a Democratic Congress if he were to win, but he has shown to be able to work with the other side, most notably on health care. This was a major achievement that remains popular and by most measures pretty successful in terms of achieving near universal coverage here. So I think he would come in as he did as governor. He would come in as an outsider, somebody who is not beholden to, you know, special interests or does not have long-term relationships with lobbyists or other lawmakers. He might not even know their names. He comes in as the CEO. He's going to take charge, and he's going to lay out an agenda and, you know, push it through.
It seems like the picture that comes out about Mitt Romney from this book is, as somebody who is fairly detached, either detached or he only really shows himself to one or two people, maybe his wife and his kids. And I wonder, does it matter? I mean, does the president have to be, you know, have to bare their soul? I mean, of course, President Obama wrote this memoir, which is excellent and touching and introspective. But I wonder, I mean, do you think that matters?
I think it matters when you're running for president. For example, one of his key supporters, Chris Christie, said recently that Mitt Romney is, quote, very reserved and needs to work on connecting with people. If you're very reserved and yet running for president, those two things seem to be a disconnect. It's one of his greatest challenges. And that's sometimes why he makes comments that people perceive as gaffes about, he's not worried about poor people. Clearly he is, but he just couldn't state it in a way that makes sense to the regular person.
Scott Helen? I think it matters as president, too, because if you think about all these intangibles that come up, I mean, whether it's you're meeting with a foreign leader over some delicate situation or, you know, you're talking to the mother of who just lost a kid in Iraq or Afghanistan. There are all kinds of situations where you have to be able to connect with people and have that sort of emotional intelligence to be able to judge people and to know what to say and to know not what to say. So I think it's critical that if he were to win, that he be able to figure that out, because I do think it's a critical part of leadership.
That's Scott Helman. He's the author of The Real Romney. We also spoke with Michael Cranish, his co-author. Both of them are reporters for the Boston Globe. Michael Cranish, Scott Helman, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.